Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. Welcome back, I guess. Welcome. Well, hopefully you've been here before. If you're new, welcome. If you've been here before, welcome back. This is a place that we call a radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw draw from the wisdom of the saints to help us navigate the difficulties of this life. And we want to talk today about why the devil hates and is very afraid of and militates against anyone practicing mental prayer.
Yeah.
And then later on in the show, we are going to give you a once in a, it's very infrequent, every few years, but maybe longer, a very unusual opportunity to join with us in studying this incredible gift to the church.
Yeah.
So,
okay. I said, okay.
Okay. So, as I mentioned in a subsequent show, St. Teresa of Avila said, if you don't practice mental prayer, that's what we're talking about today, you don't need the devil to drag you into hell, you do it yourself. St. Alphonsus wrote a book called Prayer, a Great Means of Salvation, which I just recently brought back into print through Sophia Institute Press, and that's available on spiritualdirection.com as well. But both of them argue that it's necessary to spend time, dedicated time, alone with God, doing nothing else, so that he can reveal himself to you and reveal you to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a similar, the analogy we used in the last show plays out. When I decided I couldn't become a priest because I was too messed up and I needed to be tamed by a woman, and we got married, how is it?
Yeah, you just kind of like picked me out of the air. Oh, you'll do.
How did you know? Who told you?
I needed a woman, so I married you.
a friend of mine, I won't say who, in Lent a few years ago called me and said, I'm getting married this summer. And I said, yeah? Who's the woman? He said, I don't know, but I'm getting married this summer. Guess what? He got married that summer. So we actually helped, which was kind of cool. But anyway, from a woman's perspective, I'm just curious, how did you help me to become more human? And how does that relate to prayer?
Well, that's a big question.
It relates to those, the quotes, the arguments from Teresa of Avila and St. Alphonsus Liguori.
Yeah. I guess the most important way that I would have influenced you in becoming human, that I think I still do, is proximity. You know, we spend a lot of time together. Mm-hmm. I love you. I let the Lord love, you know, I uttered this prayer that I think the Lord gave me when we were courting, we weren't yet married, that I begged the Lord to love you through me. Mm-hmm. Love you through me. And I kept that prayer up for a long time. So love, relationship, conversation, proximity, you know, gentle, you know, guidance.
Yeah.
Hey, don't, you know, do you mind not throwing the crumbs on the floor? At the meal, that used to crack me up, but it used to drive me a bit crazy because you would eat and you'd kind of just go like this and
all she's for those on radio, she's
scooping
swinging.
All the crumbs.
It's an amazing move, though. It's so easy to clean the table. You just take your hand, right to left motion, sliding across the top of the table with your hand flat. All crumbs get moved onto the floor.
Yeah, and you just kind of shoot them across the kitchen. And problem is, we didn't have a dog.
Right.
We didn't even have a cat.
What does this all this have to do with prayer? What it is. She is a mirror for me, and I for her, by the way.
Right.
We're a mirror for one another. The intimacy we have, like I I hate hurting her. Mm-hmm. But when I do, it's an indicator that there's something disordered in me. I mean, my wife's not very dysfunctional. So if I hurt her, it's usually my fault, you know. Mm-hmm. So did you notice the nuance, what I just said? Not very dysfunctional. Just wanted to make sure.
You said such a lovely thing, and now you've just like kind of wrecked it.
Yeah. So when I hurt you, because of our proximity, mm-hmm. and because I love you, it bothers me, and I want to know why. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't always know why. You know, you've said I have this super expressive face, and I can't see it except in the mirror in the morning, which is, you know, I spend as little time as possible there. So I don't know, but you tell me, you know, it can be hard sometimes when I communicate, and let's say it's neutral communication and my face looks like I want to kill you, not that it ever does, then it distorts. It's just not kind, doesn't feel kind or whatever. But here's the point. The details don't matter. Mm-hmm. Being intimate with someone reveals you to you if right. you love them.
Yeah.
If you're a narcissist, it doesn't matter. But if you love them, because then you can see, oh, this blesses her. I want to do that more. Mm-hmm. Oh, this hurts her. I want to do that less. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when we spend time with God.
It really is a beautiful reality. Uh-huh. It is, because, you know, when we are, you know, scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee, draw yeah. near to the Lord.
James 4:7.
And he will draw near to you, yeah. right? So when we draw near to the Lord and we shed our world of things that are displeasing to God, when we go to confession, when we go to Mass, we have a contrite, humble, docile spirit, the Lord does indeed draw near to us. Mm-hmm. When we become proud, scripture says God resists the proud.
Yeah.
Right? There's this distance that happened. Well, yeah. where'd you go? What's right. wrong? What did I do? And it causes us to then do, as you said, self-reflection. Yeah. Oh, I've hurt my wife. What did I say? How, under yeah. what, you know, if she's not telling me, what just happened?
Yeah.
Right? Why did she go away?
Yeah.
Why did she disappear? So it's actually such a beautiful
analogy
so that we can understand what's going on, because the Lord is exceedingly relational. You know, truth is a person.
Yeah.
Love is a person, and he wants to, you know, share himself with us. He wants to be with us. He wants to draw us into union with him to mirror the, you know, the Blessed Trinity,
the relational
piece of giving and, you know, constant giving of yourself over. And that just can't happen if you don't spend time together.
Yeah. So Liguori, these are two human persons, and we're describing the benefit of intimacy. Mm-hmm. Now, have one person be human and one's divine. That elevates the entire context, in the sense of power, wisdom, all of that. So what is God doing when he's drawing us near? He's showing me to me, mm-hmm. by revealing how I harm him in a sense. Not, you can't be harmed in an ultimate sense, but obviously he in his humanity, he was pierced through. He was, did have skin ripped off of his back. He did have thorns pressed into his brow because of my sin. Mm-hmm. And so understanding that reality and this eternal truth, I don't want to participate in that anymore. And he shows me when I spend intimate time with him, when I'm having conversation with him, not saying, please fix my wife, please fix my kid, please fix my boss, please fix my finances. That's not mental prayer.
Right.
Mental prayer is learning to know the other. And so now we're getting to the question we opened the show with, but we're probably going to have to cover more after the break. But before we get to the question of why the devil hates prayer so much, mental prayer in particular, we are inviting you to an amazing opportunity. It only comes around once every few years. And actually, we've never actually done this the way we're doing it now, where it's open to anyone and everyone, very low barriers to make this work, no cost. Stephanie and I are going to be leading a study on one of the best books on prayer that's been written probably in the last 100 years, in English anyway. It's called, it's entitled Remain in Me and I in You, which is a quote from Jesus. The subtitle is very telling: relating to God as a person and not as an idea. Father Wayne Sattler. You can find this at spiritualdirection.com shop. Mm-hmm. And then after you go buy the book, make sure you go to spiritualdirection.com/book study.
It's not a book study. It's so much more than that. Sorry for such a mundane word.
It's a lame
word.
Name. It's just, we were in a scramble and I didn't give enough direction as to what it should be named. But anyway, spiritualdirection.com/book study to sign up for the study. So it's just your name and your email address. That way we can send you the link. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll update it later to include your phone for those who'd rather deal with cell links or whatever. So, the question, we actually have a minute. I'll pose the question and then we'll get to it after the break. And this is a question we received from someone that reveals this problem. Oftentimes I've noticed that when I or a close friend is really striving to grow in relationship with the Lord and things are going well, this is when Satan tries to attack or disrupt. Thoughts on that or how to best counterattack? Do you have a favorite prayer keeping Satan away? But the question is, why would the devil, and Teresa of Avila noted this, mm-hmm. why would the devil be so afraid of someone who begins to practice mental prayer? What is it that the devil is so afraid of? And then how do you fight him? Mm-hmm. And we do have a minute to answer a little bit of that, but part of it is what we talked about before, which is, when is it that you're most vulnerable to the enemy?
Most vulnerable?
Mm-hmm.
When you're in a state of mortal sin,
right?
You know,
and why do you fall into sin?
Because I don't know the Lord. I have no love in me.
I don't know myself.
I don't know myself. You know, I'm in desolation.
Yeah.
I'm given over to the flesh, the world, right. The enemy, to his suggestions. I'm weak.
Yeah.
I'm spiritually, mentally, emotionally weak. And all he has to do is chase me down. He's going to take me down.
And all of those are remedied by what kind of prayer?
Mental prayer.
They're all remedied by mental prayer. So when we get back from the break, we're going to talk about why that is true. And then we're going to briefly review the how of mental prayer. How do you practice mental prayer?
Okay.
So we'll be right back. Friends, a great new course, brand new course at the Avila Institute that we want to tell you about is called The Priesthood of Christ and the Devotional Life. And so you are going to discover some beautiful truths, like the fact that our union with the Trinity is not mediated, it's immediate. Unlike the priests in the old law who stood between God and the assembly, Christ, our high priest, stands at no distance from his members. He's within us. And if you want to learn more about that, go to avila-institute.org. That's avila-institute.org.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father, so there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation, you know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest. I'm with Stephanie Burke. Is that who you are?
Last time I checked.
Last time you checked.
So forever.
We're talking. Is that a threat?
I'm not going away.
We're talking about mental prayer and why the devil hates it so much. So in the book of her life, the autobiography of St. Teresa of Avila, chapter 11, which is where she talks about the progress of prayer, and she uses the four water analogy, which is very beautiful. She reveals that she says, and I can see the quote, I won't quote it perfectly, the devil puts so many things in the minds of a beginner that he makes it extremely difficult for them to make progress and to persevere. Mm-hmm. And what is she saying that they need to persevere in? It's mental prayer.
Right.
She also gives a promise that I can remember verbatim, because it's one of my favorite quotes of hers, that God withholds himself from no one
who perseveres.
He withholds himself from no one who perseveres.
Right.
That means the biggest secret to success in mental prayer is showing up.
Persevere.
Show up,
yep.
No matter how you feel,
yep.
No matter what's going on, just show up and don't sweat it.
This is not about being perfect.
Right. It's just about being there.
Being available.
Right. Mm-hmm. So why is the enemy scared to death of people practice mental prayer? Teresa of Avila answered the same question. She said that when you begin to practice mental prayer, not only will you propel yourself through that, or God will propel you into a much more mature faith, a much holier life, but you're going to bring many people with you, mm-hmm. she says. Mm-hmm. And so that's why the enemy hates it. But the reason why those things are true, we've been alluding to this and sometimes talking directly, is that when you are near him, when you give him time, he will heal you. He will raise your heart and mind to heaven. He will give you his wisdom.
He will strengthen you.
He will strengthen you against sin.
He will purify you.
Exactly. Yeah. And the best way to think about this is watch The Chosen. I know there's a few doctrinal issues, but for those who are whining about that, you just are not paying attention. You're overreacting, because
this is art. It's not art.
And it's the vast majority is Catholic, is good Catholic doctrine.
Yeah.
We rewatched one a few days ago, and it was extraordinarily Catholic
and moving, so moving and beautiful.
But when Jesus embraced the Samaritan that just about killed me, right? Who had beat up a Jew and left him naked on the road and was repenting and all of that. But when you conceive of knowing Jesus the way you could potentially, if you were in The Chosen, but in the real scenes, the ones in the first century, you're in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who loved you so much he gave his life for you. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen in that context? He's going to reveal things to you. He's going to heal things in you. He's going to challenge you. He's going to rebuke you at times. He's going to lift you up when you fall. He's going to strengthen you. So there's this reality of being in the proximity of Jesus. I think in part it's why Mary is so holy. It's because she bore God in her womb and was in his DNA, we now know scientifically, is actually intermingled with her. And so there was nobody closer to Jesus other than in terms of humanity than Mary, which is why she was so holy, one of the many reasons why she was so holy. So let's end with the how. We kind of started with this the last show,
right?
But I want to dig a little deeper. So Stephanie talked in our last show about sacred time, sacred space, and sacred attention, which I teach in Into the Deep. Mm-hmm. The hardest one is sacred attention. Can you grab Into the Deep behind you? So sacred attention is the hardest. But Stephanie talked about, creating a sacred space.
And can I say how quickly, easy that was?
Yeah.
We literally went to a store, got one of those, couch tables, the ones that go behind the couch, set it up against the wall,
uh-huh.
got a bench in front of it, put our icon that we had, that we got on our honeymoon,
uh-huh.
a candle, a blessed candle, and then we had... like the better part, we had, scripture there to read and to study. It really can be very simple. It can be in a window seal with your your chair
which
pulled
I did
up
for years. Yeah.
I've seen college students put cafeteria trays underneath their bed that they pull out that has their little candle, their
little Madeline icon. That was her.
You know, their scripture there where they could pull it out and they had their little sacred space. So something that is used only for prayer and
that's
helps
right.
draw your mind visually and, you know, kinesthetically, all of that.
So in Into the Deep, I have it. It's called what's the chapter is called Step by Step into the Presence of God. Mm-hmm. It outlines an ancient practice called Lectio Divina. Mm-hmm. And we recommend using the better part, also available at spiritualdirection.com/shop, and reading the Gospels. It's the better part is in four volumes. Stephanie has the Gospel of John in her hand. And what you do is you take that, and it's a reflection on all the Gospels, the better part is, and you pick the Gospel of the day if you want to make it easier, or just go through the Gospel of John, whatever, and you begin to read. The steps are reading, reflecting, responding, resting, and resolving. Mm-hmm. Reading, you read slowly and attentively, and out loud if you've never done it before. Out loud is best.
Yeah.
Ask, and I have key questions in Into the Deep, also available in spiritualdirection.com shop. What does the Bible text say in itself? What did the author intend? What does the church teach about the subject? You're thinking about, but you're in God's presence and you're allowing him to speak to you. This is a very quiet practice, even though you might say the passage out loud.
And you can keep it very, very simple.
Yeah.
Because I can imagine that people hear, what did the church intend? And all of a sudden their brain shuts down because it's like, oh, I don't know what the church intended. But you can keep this very personal and very simple for you. Like, what is he saying to you?
Yep. The next one is reflecting, prayerfully engaging with the meaning of the passage and considering how it may apply to your life circumstances. So this goes to your point. Mm-hmm. What does the text say to me? How does it apply to my life? Where is God leading me? What is he revealing to me? Mm-hmm. So you're reading about his engagement with the woman at the well. Have you ever been with somebody that you shouldn't be with?
Yeah.
Have you ever got entangled sexually with somebody you shouldn't be? Have you ever gone through serial relationships? Zacchaeus, another example. Have you ever stolen from someone?
Have you ever betrayed, you know, your family?
Yeah. Have you ever made wealth your God and then found yourself in the middle of the night realizing this is not right. I need to get right with God. I mean, there over and over these encounters Jesus had, and they all can connect with us.
They reveal us to ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Responding, conversing with God about the passage. What can I say in response to God? Should I offer thanksgiving or praise, or should I ask for his help in any particular way? Should I repent? You know, mm-hmm. I remember one time reading the account of Zacchaeus and thinking and weeping over it, realizing I have given my life over to other gods, if you will, and found myself in the middle of the night just alone and struggling and realizing I'm not on the right path, mm-hmm. and crying out to God. And then like Zacchaeus, he met me.
Right.
The next step is resolving, allowing the encounter, allowing yourself to rest and remain absorbed in the words of God and inviting the Holy Spirit to draw you more deeply into his presence through what you've read. Am I being patient and attentive and open to God's movement in my soul as I rest in self-revelation? The other day I did a retreat and you were there, and I asked you to come up in front and to hold out your arms and then pretend like we were in the retreat center, and God is holding, you were essentially Jesus in that sense, but mm-hmm. also my wife. And what would a wise man do in that moment? Well, a busy man would pass that by or maybe do a little hypothetical tap. Thank you. A wise man would do full embrace and, mm-hmm. and receive all the love that you wanted to give me.
Right.
And so that illustrates what God is trying to do with us.
So, and so often we just pass by.
We just, because we're trying to get our prayer done.
Right.
That's what a lot of devotional praying, over excessive devotional prayers do mm-hmm. that to you.
Right.
Because I got to get the rosary done. We pray the rosary every day. Don't get me wrong. But there's a way of praying that can be harmful, which actually is not prayer, according to St. Teresa of Avila. But when the Lord moves in the text, you got to, and he moves in you in some way, you got to allow it. Mm-hmm. And then the last one, and we're running out of time, is resolving. And that one is if it's prompting a change in you, you got to pursue that change, because God is the one who's prompting that in you. The clock says we have 30 seconds more than we really have. So what I want to do is say again, come to this study. If you want to learn what we're talking about, if you want to be changed, if you want to kick the devil's behind out of your life, even though he's going to put up a stir at the beginning.
And you'll be fine.
And you'll be fine.
We'll also teach you how to resist and push back.
We'll teach you how to resist. Sign up for the Remain in Me and I in You study, Relating to God as a Person, Not as an Idea, Father Wayne Sattler. You can get the book on spiritualdirection.com/shop. And you can sign up for the study at spiritualdirection.com/book study. Hate the title of it, but it is what it is. Book study, spiritualdirection.com/book study. And we will begin on the probably the fourth Saturday of April. We meet every second and fourth Saturday at 8 a.m. Central Time until we're done with the study. Mm-hmm. And then when we're done with that study, we'll start a new one, because that's the way we've been doing this for, I don't know, since 2016. Mm-hmm. Since 2016. But what we've never done is invited the world to the transformational engagement in this kind of beautiful, rich study that we're doing this time. So
yeah. So what better time than now? Like, what are you putting off?
Yeah.
The God of the universe loves you. He seeks you. He thirsts for you.
Yeah.
He desires to have a relationship with you. So come join us in this study. Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.